Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning is the Thomasius Gospel selection appointed for this 19th Sunday after Trinity, the same being found in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, the first 13 verses, which read as follows. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit, on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, beloved hearers of his precious word. The Calvinistic Reformed churches contend that in the shift from the Old Testament to the New, God changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday and ordained the first day of the week as the official day of worship for Christians. And strangely enough, there are even Lutherans who claim that Sunday has taken the place of the Old Testament Sabbath, and that therefore all Christians should observe Sunday as their day of worship, the Lord's Day, and set aside the entire day for worship, for spiritual edification, for prayer, for the exercise of Christian fellowship, and charity, as a day of rest, which is what the word Sabbath means, as a day of rest from the workaday world. My dear hearers, there is no such ordinance of God in the New Testament. And all who try to enforce upon Christians a Sunday Sabbath and bind it upon people's consciences, do so in clear violation of the Apostle Paul's God-inspired words to the Colossians, let no man judge you in respect of an holy day or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body, the real thing, the real rest, is of Christ. No day as such has been bound upon our necks, but we are rather to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ himself has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke of laws and ordinances and regulations, which our Lord Jesus lifted from off our shoulders by his perfect obedience to the law in our place as our substitute, nailing that yoke of bondage to his cross, the apostle says. To be sure, modern day Judaizers, as we might call those who would enslave us to the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, they claim that love is their motivator in all of this. Love to God, first of all. Love for his word. Love for his church. But also love for their neighbor and concern for their soul's welfare. But as we shall see from our examination of the text before us this morning, nothing could be further from the truth. The Pharisees loved also. They loved to condemn. They loved to judge. They loved to belittle. They loved to accuse other people just to make themselves feel superior. They were not only ignorant of what true love even is, but they rejected the entire concept of love, when in unbelief they despised the love of God to them and to all poor sinners in Christ Jesus their Savior. But here in our text, Jesus takes those Pharisees on by word and deed to show them and to show us that love is the fulfilling of the law. As the Apostle Paul also writes in Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love is not an exception to the law. Love is the law. And perfect love fulfills the law. In his dispute with the self-righteous Pharisees, Jesus shows us, first of all, that love does not conflict with the law. Secondly, that love is actually the essence of the law. And thirdly, that love is the evidence of faith. Faith in him who is Lord over the law, faith in him who is our Savior from the curse of the law. Now we find the Pharisees in our text doing what they did, what they always did best, if we can use that term advisedly, namely picking at and finding fault with others. And in our text, very pointedly, finding fault with Jesus and his disciples, whom they clearly hated. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. He and his disciples were walking through a wheat or barley field. standing crop of grain. And his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now, it wasn't that his disciples were stealing from the farmer through whose field their pathway wound its crooked way, for the law permitted the hungry to glean handfuls of grain from a standing crop when they had no provisions of their own. We read of this, for example, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 25. If you care to make a note of it and to look it up. But when the Pharisees saw it, that is, when the Pharisees saw what the disciples were doing in complete conformity with God's word, they said unto him, that is to Jesus, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." It wasn't the cash value of the grain that they were concerned about, but it was the violation of the Sabbath law, which demanded rest from any and all work on the seventh day. To the fault-finding Pharisees, of course, the plucking of a few kernels of grain from a stalk, they interpreted as harvesting, the work of harvesting. And simply to rub those kernels between their hands to loosen them of the chaff and blow it away before they ate it, the Pharisees blew that out of proportion to regard it as threshing. Engaging in unnecessary labor on God's Sabbath day. And of course, they weren't just accusing Jesus' disciples. They were accusing Jesus himself as being in complicity with this sacrilegious deed. Actually, there was no law being broken at all. Not even the Sabbath law, according to its strictest interpretation, according to the scriptures, since deeds of mercy and deeds of kindness to those in need were exempted from the labor spoken of regarding the Sabbath day, the labor that was forbidden. And so was service necessary to one's spiritual welfare. Service in the temple, service of bringing the word of God to other people, service of studying the word of God. The Pharisees knew this well from their scrupulous study of the scriptures, but Jesus had to challenge them in defense of his disciples, and so he gave them two examples from Holy Scripture to back up his point. He said unto them, "Have ye not read?" Go to the scriptures. "Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered and they that were with him?" David, the pious king and hero of Israel, whom they all revered and loved. "Have ye not read in the scriptures how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests?" We read of this in 1 Samuel chapter 21, that when David was fleeing from the wrath of wicked King Saul, who was out to kill him, and when he was in need of provisions for himself and for his men, he went to Ahimelech, the priest, in the tabernacle. And Ahimelech gave him the loaves of consecrated bread, called showbread, which technically, according to the letter of the law, were to be eaten only by the priests. Yet David had not sinned in the eyes of the Lord, neither had Ahimelech in giving him and his soldiers this bread, because they were obeying the law of love, which far outweighed any ceremonial law, any regulation of the tabernacle. Now the Pharisees, were it not for this example of the Lord Jesus, would no doubt have condemned Jesus and his disciples if they had eaten showbread, no matter whether they were starving or not, because the rules are the rules. And the Pharisees were extremely scrupulous about keeping the rules, even though they did not obey the law of God from the heart. They did not obey the law of God as a fruit of faith in their Savior. Love does not conflict with mere ceremonial laws, with liturgical rules, and with ecclesiastical regulations, because the law of love is higher. It's different. It doesn't conflict. It's something else. But neither does the law of love conflict even with moral statutes, including the third commandment, which God never did abrogate. The third commandment, teaching love and respect for his holy word, which in the Old Testament stated, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For Jesus says in our text, or have ye not read in the law, that is, in the books of Moses, how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? They're doing this according to God's ordinance. They're doing this for God's people, although they're profaning the letter law of the Sabbath. They're not profaning the spirit of the Sabbath at all. By working in the temple, and they weren't just walking around with a book in their hand either, well, by working in the temple on the Sabbath day, offering sacrifices, which they had to prepare in a most meticulous way, butchering and dressing out animals as large as oxen for the people to give as offerings, the priests were technically in violation of the Sabbath law. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy stranger which is in thy gates, and so on. They weren't in violation of the Sabbath before God. They were performing services of love for God's people, services of love to the honor and praise of God, services for their own spiritual welfare according to God's own design and will. How could they be faulted? How could they be accused? Of course, the Pharisees were not going to accuse the priests, because the priests were a class unto themselves and the friends of the scribes and the Pharisees. But you see, love does not conflict even with the moral law of God. Why? Because, as we see in the second place, love is really the essence of the law. Jesus continues, but I say unto you that in this place, right here where you are standing, is one greater than the temple. I wonder who that could have been. You see why the scribes and the Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus so much. He dared to call himself the Son of God. He dared to call himself the Lord, even of the Sabbath day. But Jesus said to them, if ye had known what this meaneth, if you really had understood what God's word says to you about all of this, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, Hosea 6, verse 6, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, that is, his own disciples. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. All the temple regulations were set up by him. All the temple regulations were under his dispensation. But all the sacrifices made in observance of the letter of the law, all those oxen and sheep and turtle doves and so on, were of little importance compared to the law of love, which the Savior calls here mercy. Mercy. That's the fulfillment of the law. After all, the first table of the law is summarized, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second table, Jesus says, is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is the law. Love is the very essence of the law. Love of God and love of one's neighbor. Neither of which you or I or any human being can perfectly fulfill, no matter how hard we try. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none righteous. There is nobody that loves perfectly. No, not one. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. No one loves perfectly except the Lord of love. The Lord who is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. The one in whom and by whom all the law has been fulfilled. Christ, our substitute under the law. Christ, our Sabbath. Our rest. The real thing, of which the Sabbath in the Old Testament was just a picture or a portent of things to come. Christ, whose coming in the fullness of time, made the Old Testament Sabbath obsolete, so that God could abrogate it, discontinue it, put it away, and lift it from off our necks forever. Therefore, let no man judge you in respect of the Sabbath days, St. Paul writes. But love is more than just the essence of the law, which we cannot perfectly fulfill. Because that mere fact would leave us comfortless and in despair of our unworthiness before God. Our love of God and our love of our neighbor, as imperfect as it is only evidence of our faith. Evidence of our faith in Him who is the Lord of the law. Faith which clings to His fulfillment of the law in our place. Faith which holds fast to the loving forgiveness of God the Father. Because of Jesus' perfect satisfaction of divine justice in our place. Faith by which Christ's perfect righteousness is laid hold on and is imputed to us. Look into this text and see how the Lord Jesus, the Lord even of the Sabbath day, exercised perfect love, perfect mercy, and perfect kindness to a man who was a poor, unworthy sinner like you and me. And how the Lord Jesus defied anyone to condemn it. There was a man which had his hand withered, and asked him, that is, to ask Jesus, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" We've already covered the, is it lawful to gather a handful of grain on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful for the priests to labor on the Sabbath day? Yes, it is. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And this the Pharisees ask not as a question of information, to grow in the knowledge of God's will, but that they might accuse him. They wanted Jesus to step across the line and transgress not only the word, but the spirit of the law. You see, they didn't recognize Jesus as the Lord even of the Sabbath day. They didn't recognize him as the one whose perfect obedience to and fulfillment of the whole law set him apart from every other person born into this world. They didn't recognize him whose perfect obedience to and in fulfillment of the law in their place would buy them peace with God. And their lack of love, their lack of love to the Lord Jesus and his disciples, their lack of love to this poor man with the withered hand, was evidence of their lack of saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit, like a dry well on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out?" Jesus said in another place, "Which of you would have an ox and an ass fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" That was also permitted by God's word, an act of mercy, even to an animal. But you see, these people showed more love and concern for an animal fallen into a pit than they did for a fellow human being, this poor, handicapped person, who was just as helpless to help himself as was a lone sheep fallen into a pit. "Wherefore," says Jesus, "for that reason, it is lawful to heal, or to do well on the Sabbath days." It's the law of love, which only Jesus was perfectly able to fulfill. Then said he to the man, right in front of them, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath day, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth. And it was restored whole, like as the other. Oh, my dear hearers, stretch forth your hand. Not to point an accusing finger at someone who has been guilty of an infraction of God's law, or even the infraction of a rule or regulation. Stretch forth your hand, not certainly to condemn a brother or sister for the good works which he has done in evidence of his faith, even though those good works might eclipse those of your own. Stretch forth your hand not to wave off those who would exhort you to love and to good works, saying, don't talk to me about works, because we're saved by grace. But stretch forth your hand like that of a poor, unworthy beggar to receive by faith the love of God. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. His loving forgiveness of all your sins because of what Jesus accomplished in your place. His loving imputation of righteousness to the ungodly because of what Jesus lovingly accomplished in your place. To put on the perfect robe of righteousness which your Savior earned for you by his perfect keeping of the law. And then, in gratitude for the Sabbath, that is, for the rest for your soul, which you have in and through your Savior Jesus Christ, stretch forth your hand again, your good hand, in evidence of your faith, to prove the sincerity of your love to him who loved you first. To render, as the proof or evidence of your faith, to render love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness and compassion to other people, even though that rendering is imperfect. Render it as grateful imitation of God's love. Grateful, though imperfect, imitation of his mercy, of his love, of the sacrifice of his Son, of his compassion toward you. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, soft-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. For this, my dearly beloved hearers, is the law and the prophets. This is what God's word has to say to you. This is the essence of the gospel, that God in Christ reconciled you and all the world of helpless sinners unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And now he says, be ye reconciled to God. Accept that loving forgiveness by faith. And show your faith in his loving forgiveness by doing likewise to others. The Apostle John sums it up so nicely, saying, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Praying with the hymn writer, "Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me. Nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wanderer sought and won, something for thee." Amen. "And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting." Amen.